Bibles up there to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, we're going to continue a series about the church, the triumphant church. We're going to talk about the triumphant church. Today, I want to take just a moment here, though, and Jeff, hold your hand up there. Jeff does Grace. Hold your hand up there, Jeff. Jeff does Grace Talk Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 11 to 1:30 at WATX, 1600 AM. Grace Talk Radio, he's on there every day, has different guests here from the church and things. So listen to Grace Talk Radio. You'll be blessed. I tell you, Jeff gets to preaching on there sometimes, makes me so happy. Every time I turn that radio on, he's on there. A smile comes on my face. I think, what a victory that Jeff has got that ministry going now. And other ministries are being birthed. Hallelujah. We're blessed. I tell you, we're blessed to see other people's ministries growing and prospering and being blessed. And I'm happy about Man is Hannah. I want you to support that. And at the end of the service today, we're going to receive another, our missions offering. But just want you to go back there and visit that table. And other ministries, we're just blessed, aren't we? Yes. Say, I'm blessed. Amen. We've been doing this series. And you know, we started out looking at Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. We won't turn over there for the sake of time. But, we better turn over there. Let's turn over there and look at that before we go to Romans 8. Let's look at Matthew 16 just a minute. Let's look at that scripture, because this is such an awesome scripture here about our personal relationship with the Lord, and then it's also an awesome scripture about what He's doing in regard to the church. Everybody say this out loud. Church is important. It's important to my life. It's important for my connections. It's important for my edification. I love church. Amen. Now notice here what Jesus said. In Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, and some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now that's the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Who do you say Jesus is? Now, something that I want to camp here for just a minute, because, you know, it's getting real almost popular, almost even to the point of carnality in our society, for people to talk about God, you know, a relationship with God. But, you know, you want to understand something. We cannot have a relationship with God apart from Jesus. Jesus said, in this day, you will ask me nothing, but he said, you will ask the Father in my name. And we need to really guard our hearts about allowing something, you know, we love the Father. You know, we don't want to take away from God, but you have to realize we cannot get to God without Jesus. Jesus said himself in John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 12th verse, he said, as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So, you know, you have real popular movie stars and people talking about commitment to God and following God and having a relationship with God. But you want to guard your heart that they never say anything about Jesus. Jesus is the way of salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is where our lifehood comes from, because we could not approach God without Jesus. Say amen. So we want to guard against that. But see, the most important question that you or I or anyone else will answer in our lives, who do we say that Jesus is? Who is it that we say that he is? And notice verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, one of the things we want to recognize, that Jesus will always be revealed. Jesus will be, his will, his purpose will always be revealed. Everybody say revealed. See, revelation knowledge, we've got a world of information. We've got, you can get information about God, about the Word. You can hear great preachers. But see, the question is, it's not what others are saying about Jesus. It's what we are saying about Jesus. What does Jesus mean to us? How has Jesus caused us to be born again? How has the life of God come on the inside of us? What is the Lord showing to us in our lives about our families, our eternal destiny, where we're going down this journey of life. What are we saying about the Lord? Sometimes you might be tempted to say, well, my pastor says this, and that's okay. I mean, I don't mind if you tell people what I say, but you know what? You need to be able to say, this is what I say about Jesus. This is what I say about Jesus. And see, that confidence comes when you begin to know the value and the worth that He places on your life. It's not just the ministers, the pastors, the preachers and teachers that God places value on. Every believer is a minister before God. You are a minister of reconciliation to the world. So you're important. Everybody say, I'm important. Notice he said in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, something I want you to get a hold of, the Lord building His church is important to Him. You being at church, being involved in church, doing your part at church is important to God. It's important to the Lord for His church to be built. It's very important. I'm telling you, if you want to know a priority of the Lord, a priority of the Lord is building His church. A priority of the Lord is people being added to His church. The priority of the Lord is that church buildings be built. The priority of the Lord is that people have a refuge in church. The priority of the Lord is that church be a safe haven, a sanctuary, a place where people can come and be blessed and learn about Him and grow in Him and find their place of service. Let me tell you something. That is a priority for Jesus. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When He's building something, I'm telling you, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And here's the thought. We don't need to be fearful about life. You know, one of the things that I want to talk to you today, now turn over to Romans chapter 8 just a minute, because I'm going to share with you five reasons why church is great. Everybody say, church is great. It's a great place. Church is a happy, great place. It's not a place where we're trying to follow the wicked witch of the West. Oh, we, oh, oh, we, oh, off to church we go. God's gonna take everything we got off to church. No, 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 no. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. See, folks, the whole attitude, we need to change that whole attitude of church and what church life is about. And we need to look at the church as being triumphant. Let me show you something here in Romans chapter 8. Did you find it yet? I'm going to read this to you out of the Message Bible. Listen to what it says here. This is so awesome. I love this. So what do you think? Now everybody say, this is important what I think. With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? I mean, if I gave one of my children for you, and one of my children gave their life for you, do you think I'd have a hard time putting some bread on your table? You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying here. He's saying if God gave Jesus for us so that through Him we could become the church, he said, why would he hold anything else back? Why would he hold back something if he's going to give us the best that he's got the first time? That's what he's saying here. Listen to this. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of these phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, tomorrow, today, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus our Master has embraced us. Dear Lord God, I'm telling you what, that makes me want to dance. Amen. Think about it. We're more than conquerors. I think the King James says we're more than conquerors. You know, more than a conqueror is like, if I'm a prize fighter and I fight in the ring and I win the prize money, and I mean, I'm bloody, my nose is bloody, my ears are busted, I'm busted up, and I win the prize money, I win the belt, I win the $100,000 prize money, they write me a check and put $100,000 on it, and I'm a conqueror, but then I take that money and give it to Beth, she's more than a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror. Didn't you see that? That's exactly what the Lord has done for us. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That's why we like church. That's why church is such a great place. He gives us the victory in everything we do. Amen. He's like, well, I saw some people that didn't get victory. Listen, you have to look at this word right here and say that nothing can get between us and the love of God. So we want to recognize that we're more than conquerors. Turn with me now to Ephesians 3 just a minute. Now I want to show you something else. This seems so absolutely unbelievable to me sometimes. It's just hard for my natural mind to comprehend, but I know that it's written in the Word of God. We're more than conquerors. But notice what he says here, that our part is in regard to the church. Notice in Ephesians 3 verse 8, he says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now notice verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which has been, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Notice verse 10. To the intent that now, unto all principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Everybody say, by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. In other words, our lives are showing forth to the angelic host, to the demonic realm. Our life is showing forth the manifold wisdom of God. Now, go figure that. Because sometimes I don't feel too wise, do y'all? Sometimes I don't feel too smart. But I'll tell you what, if you're following the Lord, He's going to make you as sharp as a tack. Amen. And that wisdom is going to show forth into every prince, every power, every arena of life. You and I, everybody say you and I, are showing forth the wisdom of God. Dear Lord God. The scripture over in 1 Peter says, listen, it says that the angels look over into what happened to us, trying to comprehend how God can be so merciful to us when we make mistakes. God gives us mercy. When they make mistakes, they're cast out of heaven. And they're angels. Think about that. To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the principalities and powers, whether that's angels or demons. You know, a lot of people argue about that, but it doesn't matter. They're looking at us and recognizing that God is doing something in us. Glory to God. Man, are y'all getting hold of this? That's why church is so great. That's why church is great. We're more than conquerors. We express the wisdom of God in life. Man, you got demons and angels looking at you, scratching their head, thinking, how in the world do these people do that? You know how we do it? Because greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. How do we pick ourselves up? How do we keep going? We keep going because God is for us. God is not trying to catch us. You know, God is not trying to box us in. God is not trying to embarrass us. God is working with us. He's working in us. He's revealing salvation in us. Lord, have mercy. He's causing us to grow up and be conformed to the image of Jesus in every area of our lives, that one day you're going to see a storm coming. You're going to step out on your front porch. You're going to speak to that storm, and it's going to bow its knee. It's going to go away just because you spoke the word to it. Glory to God. Yes. Yes, that's awesome. One of these days you're going to be able to say, Pastor Ron, you want to pay off that building? Go down there to that pond at Morningside and catch that first fish and bring up that piece of gold out of his mouth and go to the bank, pay that building off. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God's moving us in that direction, folks. He's moving us in a direction where the supernatural is flowing out of our lives just like it's an everyday occurrence coming out of our lives. I don't know about y'all, but it makes me happy. Because when God can take the foolish things of the world and confound the wise, He's got some good stuff to work with. Can you say amen? He's on our side. He is for us and not against us. I'm telling you, in every arena of life. Now turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. I want to show you something here. We're just going to look at four or five reasons here why it's great to be in church. I'll tell you, it's great to be in church. I love being a part of church. I always have loved being a part of church. I got born again in 1979, and I'm telling you, when I got born again, I was so happy to be in church. I tell you, I was just thrilled to be involved in church, and still am to this day. I mean, it's an awesome thing to be a part of the body of Christ. It's an awesome thing to be in the house of God. It's an awesome thing when you think about, here we are gathered together as a body, and God is meeting us here in this place today. Are you going to take something home with you from here today that will change your life forever? Amen. Think about that. One word from God can change your destiny forever and ever and ever. To the good. Hallelujah. I tell you, I love it. Where did I tell you to turn? Romans chapter 5. You know, where's Becky? Becky, when I was studying this week, I kept thinking about you in my heart. I kept thinking, this is going to bless Becky. I could just see you up here doing your little... Y'all know how Becky does that little... She does that little dance, you know? I don't even know if I can do it the way she does it. But, you know, I could just see Becky doing this dance. Because notice what the word says here. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, and that's talking about Adam, everybody say Adam. Death reigned by one, or by him, you could say. Now notice, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. I looked that word reign up. You know what it means? It means to have control of your life, to rule your own life. If you will receive of the gift of righteousness. Now, what does it mean to receive of the gift of righteousness? It simply means you come to the end of yourself and you say, Lord, I am tired of performance. I'm tired of trying to be good enough. I'm tired of trying to control all my life. I'm tired of trying to be right about everything. I'm giving it all up to you because I can't do it anyway. And I choose today to receive of the gift of righteousness. I choose to receive this gift that Jesus brought me, this gift of salvation, this gift that is by His grace, by His blood alone. I choose to receive Him into my heart. And I'm finished with me. I'm quit of me. You ever get quit of you? I'm just quit of me. I receive the gift of righteousness. I receive the gift of righteousness. I'm not receiving any voices. Well, if you'll do this, if you'll... No. I'm not receiving that voice. And then he said, if you receive the gift of righteousness and... Everybody say, and. Amen. Abundance of grace. How many of you have figured out in this life, as a Christian, you need abundance of grace? You ever had a fight with your mate? You ever got in an argument with your kids? You need grace.
You ever been late or just about late on a bill? You need grace, right? See, he just didn't say if we receive a little bit of grace. He said if we receive the gift of righteousness is what you get when you receive Jesus. You receive that gift of righteousness, and then you walk through life and you figure out that righteousness is oftentimes challenged. Because someone, something, somebody, some situation, some circumstance is going to challenge your righteousness. Well, you know, you just didn't quite measure up this time. You know, you just don't look very righteous to me. How could you talk that way and be righteous? If you were righteous, you would sell your car and give that money to the Lord. If you were righteous, you know, that always, that voice, that low-level condemnation always coming to you that you're just not quite good enough. You just don't quite measure up. I've got news for you. There's none of us measure up. It's amazing to me. During this Casey Anthony trial, they're talking about how dysfunctional her family was. I'm thinking, my God, every family's dysfunctional. Why? I mean, it's like all of us are dysfunctional. We need Jesus. We need to quit trying to impress by how functional we are and just come to the brass tacks and say we are dysfunctional without Jesus. We are dysfunctional. Amen. So we need abundance of grace. But it says we shall reign in life if we receive the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace. We'll reign in life. I just couldn't keep from seeing Becky just in my heart. I could just see her. I'm raining. I'm raining. I'm raining. I'm raining. I'm raining. I'm raining. Come on, Becky. Come on, Becky. I'm raining. There you go. Oh, she go. You go. You go. Yeah, come on. She's raining. She's raining. Everybody say, rain in life. You can reign in life with Jesus. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean everything around you, you're never going to have any problems. No circumstances are coming against you. But it means that you reign in life. You look over those circumstances. You keep your eyes set on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You keep looking to Jesus. Amen. Reigning in life. Turn with me real quickly to 1 Peter 1:9. I love to watch you do that, Becky. Look at this. What does it mean? Why is it great to be a part of church? It's great to be a part of church because we're more than conquerors. We make known the wisdom of God. We reign in life. I mean, who wouldn't want that? And I mean, you don't have to win the lottery to do that. Or Publishers Clearinghouse. Or get an inheritance. You reign because of your inheritance in Jesus. Amen. Look here what it says in 1 Peter chapter, what did I say? Go to 2. 2:9. I made a mistake in my notes. 2:9. Notice this. I love this. This is awesome. It says, but you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Y'all are weird, I'm telling you. Notice this. What makes us peculiar? Notice this. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what politicians do. It doesn't matter what's going on. We can show forth the praises of God because we're weird. We're peculiar people. We praise God when the armies are surrounding us. We're thankful when things look like it's going bad. We praise God when everything and everyone is coming against us. We still have a thanksgiving in our mouth because we're thankful. We're looking beyond the natural circumstances. Don't buy into the circumstances of this life. I'm preaching myself happy, I'm telling you. I like this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You remember the children of Israel when they were in Goshen? The Bible says the darkness in Egypt was so thick that the Egyptians could not see their hand in front of their face. But it said the children of Israel had light. That's the way we are. You're a peculiar people. You see light when darkness is all around. You see a way of escape when it doesn't look like there's going to be one. Man, you see things that, that this world system will never see. That's why it is so great to be a part of the church. It is great to be a part of the church because you will have a path shown to you that nobody else will see unless they're in Him. God will show you a path, a way to make it through when it doesn't seem like there's ever a way to make it through. God will show you that way. Man. Isn't it great to be a part of the church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't hardly wait to get up here and come next Sunday. Glory to God. Wednesday night. Y'all know we have services here on Wednesday night, don't you? Did y'all know that? We need to make an announcement. Church is at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, Bible study. We have that. Great Bible teachers. Great. Great stuff going on here. Everybody say to show forth His praise. Now in closing, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Lord, how could we go wrong following the Lord and let Him build His church in us? Amen. I'll tell you, He's out for your good. How many of y'all ever done anything carnal in your life before? Did it have the desired results that you thought it would? Well, that was awfully weak. What'd y'all say? It doesn't, does it? I mean, it's like we think, okay, if we do this thing, it's going to give us what we want. We do it, but if y'all found it, you don't hardly get what you want. That gets rough sometimes because I'm stubborn, and I want to keep doing it, you know? Have y'all ever been there? All right. Why do we want to be a part of church? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. Verse 14. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always, everybody say always. You know, I looked up always in every concordance I could find. You know what it means? Always. I mean, I did. I searched in every dictionary, every Greek, I looked it up in every Greek thing you could think of, every concordance I had, and everywhere I went, it was just always. Look at this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Always. That should be one of our most favorite words. Always. Everybody say always. Always. Say I always triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of these beautiful young ladies over here, would you all say that with me? I always triumph in Christ Jesus. Walter, you're not a young lady.
I was one of the beautiful
ones. Oh, okay. All right. Say it with me again, everybody. I always triumph in Christ Jesus. See, that's why we want to be a part of church. We're more than conquerors. We show forth the praises of God. Man, I tell you, we always have the victory in Him. Always. Can I just put this to you? I took the time here, and I thought, you know, those scriptures can get pretty thick in King James English. And Becky, you're going to like this one too. I thought I would just write this down in everyday language, all right? You always come out on top. You're sharp as a tack. You're in control of life. You're happy about it. And the word triumph there and always triumph and praise means you dance and parade. Triumph means to make an exclamatory procession. In other words, you're like Becky. Come on, help me, Becky. Come on, she can do it. Come on, come on. We're always triumphing that with Becky. Come on. We're always triumphing. Come on, come on right here, Becky. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, Becky. Come on. Y'all stand up. Stand up here with us. Come on. We're going to triumph here. Everybody's going to triumph a little bit. Come on, we're going to triumph. Come on, let's triumph. We're triumphing now, Becky. Come on. Come on, Becky. We're triumphing. Say, I'm triumphing in Jesus. Come on. We're triumphing. Come on. See, He said, make a procession. Come on. Let's make a procession of triumphing in Jesus.